Troy and I'm an addict. I was thinking when Frankie asked me to come over here and do this about turning your will over, man, I remember all the times I used to sit around and pray to God, please let me get one more in me, or please God help me get out of trouble. But again, and every time I would turn around and take my will back and not do what I said I was going to do because I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in nothing. I didn't believe in myself. It took me a long time to come around here and realize that it was a better way out there, and I just didn't know it. As addicts, none of us do until we come into Narcotics Anonymous and learn there is a better way, that we do have a choice today. I never knew about choices. I grew up in the projects most of my life, so choices wasn't there for us. It wasn't there. We didn't have all the luxuries that other people do. I mean, I struggled for a long time as a kid, for a long time. And I remember my mom tried her best. She tried her best. She was the only mom, so she didn't have all the things that other people had. But she gave us what she did have, her heart, her love. She was always there for us, no matter what. And she tried to implant that into me when I was little, but, you know, that wasn't working. I mean, I always wanted to get in trouble. I always wanted to go out and drink and hang out with my friends and smoke weed. And I mean, just, you know, as all them things progressed on to other harder things. And now I started taking my will back a lot, though. I mean, I remember when I went to prison one time, and I was facing 45 years for an armed robbery charge, and I was down Mitchell Courthouse up in Baltimore City, and this is where the big boys go, so if you go through there, you're going to get some big time. And I remember the guy went into the cell before me. He went up to the courthouse to come back, and he's like, they did it again. I'm like, what? He said, they give me another 45 years. I'm like, whoa, and it was for the same charge. Man, I started shaking. I was scared. I was like, man. I started crying. I was like, man, and then the guys were in there. They all started praying for me. And I was like, why are you praying? They said, because there's nothing more powerful than to share the spirit of God with your friends. And, you know, and I was like, no way. And you know, a couple minutes later, the tourniquet come downstairs, and she hollered for my name. And I was like, I started trembling real bad. And I'm like, here we go. And I started to go out the gate, and she stopped me there. She's like, she handed me this paper. I'm like, what's this? She said, they non-processed all your charges. Wow. You're getting ready to go home. And I was like, wow. And I was up in Jessup's already doing 2.5 years. So I was getting ready to go home in 16 days if I beat that charge. And it was right before Christmas. So I got to go home and spend time with my kids. You know, but I prayed that night. But you know what? I really meant that shit. And in 2000, I did. I really meant that one. That one, I was in, I meant it. But you know what? After I left there, I probably used again for another 2 years. And in September 16th of 2005, I was over in West Baltimore. And I remember waking up, and this girl was next to me. And I said, look, I can't do this no more. I said, I just can't do it no more. I said, you want to get clean with me? She's like, I'm not ready yet. And that's all I had to hear her say. I went and called one of my buddies. He come and pick me up, and he took me to this hospital called Franklin Square. And they took me over to the hospital, and the doctors there said, well, we can keep you, but we can't medicate you. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And without the medication, he's like, look, if you really want to do this, you'll do whatever you got to do. And I didn't want to get high anymore. I decided then that I was going to turn my will over, and I wasn't going to do this ever again to myself. And, you know, since then, I've been clean, man. And, I mean, I just... By the grace of God, I haven't had a desire to want to use again. And it's been almost 8 years. I mean, this is like awesome. You know what I mean? I know today that I pray every morning when I get up. I thank Him for giving me another day to be able to breathe on this earth. Because until I got clean, I didn't know that there was really an earth around. I mean, you live in one mile's radius of wherever you live at. That's about all you knew all your life. So, I mean... I used for a long, long time, and I knew every spot in them neighborhoods. Police was hard to catch me sometimes because I knew too many spots. But today I live a pretty good life. You know, I have a little boy that's 3 years old that I wouldn't give this up for nothing in the world. I love watching him grow up a lot. I love watching that little smile on his face. And he says, Daddy, you're my best friend in the whole world. And I'm like, wow, it just melts me inside. You know what I mean? I got other kids that I never got to, was never there to be able to see that happen to. My oldest one's 23. And then she still tells me today she's proud of me no matter what I did. She said, all we want you to do is keep doing what you're doing now, staying clean. And then, you know, that touches my heart because I wasn't never there for them. Never. The only thing I was ever worried about was putting that needle in my arm. That was it. I mean, I've had a rough life. I lived on the streets for 14 years straight, eating out of trash cans, living underneath abandoned trash cans, dumpsters, you name it, I slept in them. I mean, we lived on the railroad tracks where little animals were running around. I mean, it's, you know, but I didn't consider myself no more than what they was because, like everybody was telling me, I was lower than a piece of well shit and all that. I ain't lower than a piece of well shit. I had a disease I had no idea what to do with. And today I have a choice. Like I said, today I have a choice and I know what I have to do with it. I have a lot of sponsees that look up to me today. I share a lot of meetings all over the place because I'm told not to turn nobody down. And like we just left a meeting last night and went over there and Frankie's like, you want to do a meeting? I'm like, come on, man. But I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And it makes me feel good after I get done too because I know I'm giving it back. And that's, you know, somebody's going to hear something in here that I say that might plant a seed in your head that's going to help you out. And that's what we're supposed to do. See, I take a lot of H&Is. I do one over at Baltimore City Detention Center right now. There hasn't been a meeting there in 4 years. And I decided to take one back over there. And you should see the list. I got all these guys who got over 5 years clean that want to get in and do this meeting now. I mean, stuff like that just, like, makes me feel good about myself. Shows me that I'm more than what I was before, that I could be a better person today than I thought, that I never thought I could be, because I was always told I was never going to amount to anything. But you know what? I proved all them people wrong, and I'm going to keep proving them wrong, because I have a spirit in me that I ain't going to let nobody put out. And that spirit is God, my understanding. Because that's who I believe in today. That's what keeps me going every morning. And, you know, I don't want to get back to where I was. I don't want to have to live that lifestyle again. Because I know it's right there. All I got to do is, like you said, give your will back. And that's it. That willpower is hard, boy. It's hard. It's a tough one. Some people get up in their heads and they start thinking that I can't do it. I can't do it. And you want to run. Stop running. Stop running. Don't let this disease whip you again. Because I remember when I was out there and I was like, God, if you just give me one more chance to not do this again, and what would happen? We would let it, and he would probably give us some way to get to where we want to be at that moment. But as soon as we got there, we're like, we forgot all about what we promised him. I try not to do that today because I know you can take it right back from me now, so I don't play with them kind of things. You know, like I said, I'm from Baltimore. It's rough up in Baltimore. I mean, it's really getting bad now for all the gangs and all, but, you know, I still love it there. It's my home. It's where I grew up. And I try not to forget my surroundings. I'm trying not to get complacent like I used to do when I get a couple months here or there, get almost a year, and then get complacent and think, oh, man, I got this going on now. Shit, I ain't had nothing going on. You know, I ain't got nothing to prove to nobody today. The only person I have anything to prove to is me. And that's the only one I have anything to prove to. You know, I love Troy today. I never loved me before. It took me a long time to understand what was keeping me from coming around because I hated myself. And until I got to learn to love me and figure out what I want to do for me, I couldn't do nothing for nobody else. Me, my kids, my mom, nobody. But once I figured out that I want to do this, I did it. And I've stayed here since then because I refused to go back here. Like I said, with that girl that I was with, she decided to come 2 weeks later to go do the same thing. You know, that girl is so smart. She just graduated law school, and she's a counselor for a drug rehab. I mean, you know, you could do anything in this world you want to do. You just got to put your heart into it. And don't never take your will back. Because I'm telling you, this disease will tear you down. It'll make you think that you're less than anybody else. And ain't none of us less than nobody in here. I think like this. I might have 7.5 years, but go. I got the same amount of time as everybody else does right now here. We got today. And then I got to remember that shit because, like I said, I remember when you get complacent in here is when you get caught up. And you start getting caught up and you start reverting back to them old behaviors you used to be in. Like I had a sponsee last night told me, will you go get me a lotto number? And I'm like, didn't you have a gambling problem? He said, yeah, but I'm not buying it. You are. I mean, it's just, it don't make no sense. he knows he's got a problem, but he'll try to revert around another way to get to the problem, to where he wants to be at. You can't do that when we substitute one thing for another. So he's going to substitute me to go gamble for him. What, do you want to get me started? I mean, but, you know, you gotta be vigilant on this stuff, because them little things can sneak up just because he wants to gamble right now with using somebody else. Somebody ain't going to be there soon. And then what are you going to do? You're going to have to do it yourself because you don't got caught up again. I mean, it's a disease. It's cunning, baffling, and insidious. It is not no joke. It will take you down faster than you got up. And I want to stay up. I want to stay where I'm at today. I'm proud of what I've become. I was told I'd never amount to nothing. Look, I'm a union hire worker. I make good money. I never thought I'd be anything like that in my life. You know what I mean? And I have people to look up to me today, which I thought nobody would ever do that before either. I always thought that I was going to be the one begging out there on the streets, asking people to help me, to feed me, to give me somewhere to be. I don't have to live like that today, man. I don't have to give this back. And if I cry, it's because I got feelings today. I have feelings in my heart that I never would give to anybody else before. And that makes me a better man. It makes me a better man because, you know, you call me a punk or you know whatever, but I know what I am inside. And I know if you put your hands on me, you're going to find out what I really am. But, you know, this is, Narcotics Anonymous is a beautiful program. There's no tough guys in here. If we were all tough guys, we'd still be out there getting high. You know, I hear somebody say, man, I'm a warrior. I'll get high for it. I remember when I used to say that, too, and they thought that shit whipped my ass. But I ain't got to live like that now, you know? I feel good about the things in my life. Like my little girl just got married. She married a Marine. And he was in Afghanistan. When he come back from Afghanistan, this kid come to my house. He come from California. And he come over and he's like, Mr. Troy, can I ask you for your daughter's hand in marriage? And I was like, whoa. I'm like, what did you say? I said, I'm from Baltimore. I never heard no shit like that. But it touched me when he did that. And I was like, I remember seeing shit like that on TV. I'm like, they don't do this shit in real life, do they? But it did. And I was like, wow, man. And it touched my heart. And, you know, he's a really good kid. And he explained to me the things that was going on over there and how he felt and how he almost lost it because he watched his friends getting blown up in front of him. And, you know, he said the only thing that kept him from losing his mind was he prayed. And, you know, that must be a powerful guy, boy, if he can keep you from going insane watching somebody blow up in front of you. But, you know, now my daughter's pregnant. I'm getting ready to be a grandfather. Hey, thank God she waited until she was 20. You know, I'm be 44 next month, and I never thought I'd be able to make it to that age either. You know, I'm look good to be 44, don't I? Yeah. They say drugs must preserve me. Nah, but for real, I mean, this program is awesome, man. And look, we can come in here and we can be serious and we can have the real serious things go on. And then we can, like, joke and play about some things because we can do that today. I remember times when that shit wasn't funny and it wouldn't have been funny. But now, you know, I try to find humor in everything. I don't always try to look for the bad things that go on in life because them bad things is what draws us down. Let's try to find the solution to the things instead of always reverting back to the problem of it. I mean, today I have 7 sponsees. I had one that OD'd 3.5 months ago. Been a sponsor for like 6 years now, and he never did no step work. He never did no, he didn't go to meetings all the time. He kept relapsing after like 2 or 3 months, and he struggled for so many years. And this time he come back, he really wanted to try. And he started doing step work, and he was showing up in meetings every day. He was praying, and he did his first step with me. And his girlfriend gave it to me, right? She gave it to me. She said, I want you to keep it. And I got it, and I'm never going to let nothing happen to it. Well, we finished his step that weekend, and he had to go to court on that Tuesday. And we dropped him, me and him and another sponsor, we dropped him off at his probation officers on that Friday. And his girlfriend called me and said, have you seen him? I'm like, what do you mean? I was saying, she said, we can't find him. As soon as she said that, I called him and he wouldn't answer the phone. I knew something was wrong. And I'm like, man. And they're like, fine. We went out looking for him. And the next day, we was at 10 o'clock meeting him up in Eastern Avenue. And one of his house managers come over and got me and his wife and everybody else. And as soon as I heard her scream, I knew what would happen. And she said, Troy's gone. I was like, wow. He gave his will back. He gave his will back. That one more time. He thought he was going back to jail. I guess he just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one to try to figure that out. At first, I was like, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. I did the best thing I could for him. I stayed there with him all them years. I tried. He just took his will back. And here, that one, next one you do could be your last one. You got to always remember that. I mean, it could be the last thing of anything you do. And that's a scary feeling, man. It's a scary thought to know that, I don't need to get high that bad. Because I love being able to breathe and eat and gain weight. I mean, look, if you're new in here, man, and if you don't do anything in the world, give yourself a break. Try a new way. Try to do something different with your life. Don't look down on yourself. You're better than what anybody's ever told you. And there are people always going to look down on us because we're addicts, but we're better people than that. Look, you can go somewhere now and you'll talk to somebody you talked to 3 years ago and they look down on you because you was out on the street, you were dirty, your hair all messed up, and they get cleaned up and go back in front of that same person. They'll talk to you like a totally different person because they forgot who you was. See, I don't want anybody to forget who I am. I want to remember me. And I ain't ashamed to tell nobody I'm an addict. I've been at it for 25 years. You think I'm worried about them having some kind of thought about me now? I said, I ain't give a fuck what you think about me. None at all. None at all. I mean, look, I don't have nothing to prove to nobody today. You know, like I said, this is an awesome program. How much time we got? 5. Damn, that's too fast. Now, but look, get a sponsor. Get a home group. Get plugged in. Meet people in this program. Get some phone numbers from them. If it's your first time ever being at the convention, keep coming back to them. They're beautiful, man. You meet a lot of new people here. You get to talk to a lot. And you get to hear a lot of different stories. I mean, I love coming in and sitting down and listening to all the people talk because I always think my story is unique and different from somebody else's. None of us are unique. None of us are different. We all got the same kind of stories we use. We all did that pretty good, right? I know I did. See, I could have sold Ray Charles so you let me talk to him long enough. So, but look, this Narcotics Anonymous is the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. It's the best thing that happened to me in my life, and I would never give it back to anything else. And I don't know, I ain't got too much else to say for 5 minutes. But thanks for letting me share.
Thank Troy for sharing. Okay. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Ken from Virginia.
Good morning. My name's Ken, and I am an addict. My clean date is September the 19th, 05. And I was pushed into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous by a parole officer in September of 2002. And it took me 3 years to get a clean date that I was able to hang on to because I just wasn't ready to quit. And, you know, I grew up in the mountains of West Virginia, the son of a Baptist preacher. You know, and the God they gave me there wasn't very, you know, it didn't work for me. You know, they basically told me I was a rotten, no good for sinner, and the only thing I was worthy of was to burn in the lake fire forever. And I was like, well, maybe I ought to go party and have some fun before I get there. And it was a party for a while, but it didn't end up that way because, you know, I come, you know, being 51 years old now, and looking back at my life, what I see is I see a young man coming running out of the mountains of West Virginia full of anger and resentment. And what I've done is I took that into, turned that into self-destructive behavior. And I ended up with a 1-day to 20-year sentence when I was 17 years old for robbing stores. You know, and I'd done 2.5 years, and I got out, and I stayed out 2.5 years. I went back for bank robbery and done 6.5 years in the federal system for robbing banks. And I got out, and I was really determined the second time that I got out, because I had seen a lot of old guys get out and come back. And I'd ask them what happened, and they would, like, give me some bullshit story, you know, and then Shawshank Redemption comes out, and, you know. You know, and that helped me with my understanding, because, you know, I began to realize that if I didn't straighten up and do something different, that I was going to be the same guy. But I wasn't ready to quit smoking pot and doing drugs. You know, and I stayed out 7 years and managed to get past probation and parole. And I knew I couldn't commit anything violent again, because then I'd be 3 times down and I'd be done. And I didn't really want to do that. You know, and I come out of federal prison and I got married. I done all the things that they say, you know, you can't do or that you really shouldn't do. You know, my ego tells me I can do that. You know, I thought I could rob banks to get away with it, but they showed me different. You know? Anyhow, it didn't work out so well, and I ended up going back to prison in the state of Virginia in 1997. You know, and when they gave me a plea bargain, it said 8 years, man, and it was for selling marijuana. And for driving around with somebody else's car without their permission. I think they call that auto larceny. Anyhow, the maximum for those 2 sentences was 10 years apiece, and they gave me 20 years and suspended 16. And I was like, you know, and that was the minimum of the sentencing guidelines. And I was like, really? I hurried up and signed that plea bargain. And then when they let me out in 2000, I didn't believe I was on the other side of the fence until I was, like, shopping at Walmart to get something besides prison clothes to wear. Because that's what they released you in. And anyhow, it's like I said, you know, it was 2 years later that, you know, they put me in. You know, they made me go to Boxwood. It was either that or go back in front of the judge for dirty urns. You know, and I began my process of getting clean and staying clean. And like I said, they pushed me into rooms in September of 2002. And it took me 3 years. You know, and I can remember that last year before I got clean, I picked up like 3 90-day chips. I'd make it that far, you know, and then I'd use again. And every time I would use, that dark cloud would just come over my life and over my head and over my heart. And I was like, man, I just can't stand this anymore. You know, and finally I started following suggestions. You know, and when I would go down to visit my daughter, which lived on the other end of the state, which is where I got in trouble and got sent to court and prison. You know, that was my weak spot, you know, and it was simple solution. You know, when I would go down there, I'd go back and see my old friends. And, you know, I was living in Northern Virginia, and it was a long road down there. It was 4 hours down there, and as soon as I turned the car in that direction, that battle would start in my head. You know, and the only way that I could get rid of that battle was to pick up the phone and call somebody in the rooms and talk to them. And as soon as I did, man, that battle would just, you know, it would just be like a relief valve and just let it go. You know, and that's when I began to win the battle. And the other suggestion that I followed was to start going to meetings when I went down there. And I started doing that. And I've been clean ever since. I also got honest with my daughter, because that same weekend, you know, I get her and I take her up to the room. You know, we stayed in hotels and we'd get settled in and I'd go outside and get high. And when I done it this weekend, I come back up. You know, she was like, what took you so long? You're just going to smoke a cigarette. You know, and that's, and it just dawned on me that if I wanted her to be honest with me, then maybe I had to be honest with her. You know, and so I told her. You know, and from that weekend, is my clean date. You know, and I just feel blessed because, you know, I told you I was released from prison the last time in September of 2000. That's 12 and a half years ago. And that's three trips to prison with 12 and a half years behind bars. You know, something has changed in my life. And I give a lot of that credit to the Narcotics Anonymous. and to the God of my understanding, because I've come to a new understanding of a new God. And I like what our literature says, you know, a power greater than ourselves that is kind, caring, and loving. You know, who I am comfortable with calling God. Sometimes I call him the king because, you know, if that reminds me that if he's the king, I'm not. You know? Because I like to be the king and think I can do shit that can't do. I mean, I can do it. You know, I might have the, you know, the gumption to do it, but that don't necessarily mean that's what I should be doing with my life. You know, and I wasn't even going to come to the convention this year. But about 2 weeks ago, I was shared at a Sunday morning meeting in Reston. And after the meeting, the guy come up to me and asked me if I would come and share at this workshop. And I was like, what does he think, that I know something about God's will versus Kenny's will? And so I was thinking about it, and really I just thought that I would share the story that I shared that Sunday morning with you. Because since I've been out, you know, life and God has blessed me with a Class A general contractor's license from the state of Virginia. Now, there was a bunch of hoops to jump through to get that, but God gave it to me. You know, and I'm a home improvement guy, and my life is blessed today. I make silly money. You know, for an uneducated hillbilly from West Virginia that's been behind bars as much as I have, I'm in people's homes who I should never be in. You know, they got freaking Renoirs on the walls. You know, and just, it's incredible. I just sometimes go, you know, really? You know, this is how blessed my life is today. And it comes from not using drugs and following suggestions in this program, getting clean and working the program and getting to know me and who I am and how I operate and why I operate that way, so that I don't have to operate that way anymore, you know. And that's what the steps of this program are about in my life, and cleaning up our mess. And I'm still working on a lot of that. But a lot of my life is blessed. And the story is this. I was doing a contract. My last two contracts, man, just had bears in it. And, you know, the bears are the homeowners. You know, they're these people that if they don't get their way, they just get nasty and just ugly. And, you know, we spent all day Friday, the Sunday before I shared this, on my hands and knees nailing down flooring for this lady so that we could get it done. We spent 9 hours on Friday. I like to go home early on Friday, you know. And then we didn't move the furniture back, which she had said was all right with her because her master bedroom was good and she didn't really care so much about the room her son was in. So I left it. On Saturday morning, I checked my email, and it's just a scathing freaking email. This lady is just chewing me up this side and chewing me down that side. And I'm like, you know, I made the decision not to respond. You know, and when I got back to her house on Monday morning, I was just like, good morning, Robin. How's your morning? And she's like, you know. And I guess what I'm trying to share is, you know, I have lost really good high-end clientele simply because when they attack me personally, or when they attack me, when they attack me personally, I take it personal. I don't have to do that anymore today. You know, I can just let that shit blow on by and say, God bless you, man. You know, not really, but, you know. But at least I don't say anything, right? At least I don't fire back those darts. You know, I don't have to give wound for wound. You know, and I'm slowly but surely learning to give, you know, love and compassion back. Because what I realized, you know, some years ago in the meetings, that, you know, the meeting was on compassion, and I realized that as much compassion as it takes to put up with my ornery ass, I have no right to withhold it from anybody else, you know. And that's often difficult to do when you're on the, you know, the receiving end of nastiness. And, you know, that's the true test of my spiritual program, if you ask me. You know, anybody can jump up and cuss back and fight and do whatever, you know, and be ugly, which I've done for many years. You know, but I don't want to be that person anymore. You know, plus I don't like losing these clientele that pay me so well. It's kind of like, pow, shoot me in the foot, cut my nose off, I'm spitting my face. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, but in addition to that, I want to be an example of who I believe my God is. You know, and I believe that my God is kind, caring, and loving. You know, so that means that I've got to be kind, caring, and loving. You know, and it's easy to be these things to the people that are that way to us. But when it comes to people who grate against our will and grate against my way, You know, that's the true challenge. You know, that's the test. That's where the rubber meets the road, folks. You know, and I'm not perfect. And I'm sure I'm going to get, you know, opportunities to practice, you know, what I'm preaching. You know, knock on wood. But, you know, my life is really blessed. You know, I'm thankful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's here, and some professional counseling, you know, that I have learned how to be a human being, to become a productive member of society. You know, for that I'm grateful, because otherwise, you know, I'd have been a Shawshank Redemption guy. I'd have been there. You know, if I were to get locked up again, especially for a violent crime, I'd be done. You know, and I've got an 18-year-old daughter. And if you go back 12 years, she was 3 when I got locked up, and she was 6 when I got out. And I have, you know, been blessed to spend a small fortune going down there and spending weekends with her and getting her during the summer and hiring lawyers to take her mother to court because she wanted to, you know, have her way and stand between me and my daughter. And I'm like, okay, we'll just let the judge make the decision. You know, and I went into court with all my back child support paid from where I was locked up. My current child support, you know, showed up, and the maids at the hotel that we spent in, which is the Best Western in Radford, were willing to go to the court for me and say, yeah, we've watched this kid grow up. You know, but they didn't have to, you know, we didn't have to go to that extent. But when I went into the courtroom, I got everything that I asked for. Hands down, no questions asked. And so I've managed to be a part of my child's life. And she currently is a freshman at Hollins University, right outside of Roanoke, Virginia. You know, so my life is blessed. And I can go spend weekends or weeks with my parents. And we don't have to fight and, you know, have knockdown dragouts. Because I've learned that I've got to have some compassion for him. But you know what else I learned? I've got to have some compassion for this one. You know, if I don't have any compassion and some forgiveness for my own self and for my own life and for the things I've done to myself, then I'm going to keep beating myself up because I'm going to feel like I'm, you know, what they told me, a worthless piece of shit that was worthy of burning in hell forever. You know, I told my dad one time, I was like, I'm living in hell now. You know, he was trying to, him and mom were trying to referee a fight between myself and my daughter's mother in my grandmother's yard. You know, and I just, religion just didn't work for me. Spirituality works real well. You know, and spirituality to me are the principles of this program. Of number one, surrender. You know, I can put that step one to any area of my life. You know, and the first time, when Robin's email first come up, step one, surrender. You know, let it go, you know, give it over to God and let him take care of it. Because what I have learned in my life and in my experience in the last few years is when I do that, number one, it's like a bucket of peace is just poured out on my heart and my life, and it just grows. You know, that's the result of me letting go of my will. But if I get in there and I start fighting and struggling, well, then a couple of days later, you know, I look like somebody's beat the hell out of me. You know, and it's hard and it's difficult. And I'm getting to the point in my life where I can't stand stressed. You know, my body doesn't take it like it used to. You know, so I have other incentives to slow down and to let go and let God. You know, a couple years ago when the economy was real bad, I got a job with another company. And there was, you know, the workplace, whatever you want to call it, drama. You know, and, you know, people were trying to make themselves look good so that they could get hired in or pay raised up equal to where I was at. Because I was blessed and got hired at a nice wage. And I just stood back, you know, and let the people play their games and do their things. And life blessed me with work on my own so that I could go off again doing what I was doing. And I kept in touch with these fellows. You know, and the guy that was trying to do all that stuff, he ended up in debt to the company owner, working, you know, 7 days a week trying to pay off what he was trying to do. And to me, that was an example of somebody trying to exert their own will, you know, manipulate and control. a situation to get where they wanted to get. And I've done it many times in my life, and I'm sure I could think of it, you know, kind of like, you know, taking other people's money. But and it always got me into trouble. You know, but whenever I'm willing to let go and let God give me, you know, just accept life for what it is. And then I can sit on the balcony out here at the, you know, on the hotel that I can afford to pay for, you know, and listen to the ocean, you know, listen to the waves come in and see how pretty the sun, you know, the clouds are when the sun sets. You know, I can enjoy life. I don't have to be peeking out through these little fucking windows. Going, oh, let me out, poor it's me. You know, that's another thing kicked my ass a lot in life is self-pity. You know, oh, boy, it was me. You know, it never motivated me to do anything except sit on the couch and say, oh, woe is me. You know, I want to get out and enjoy life and live life and have fun. You know, enjoy the fact that I can go pick up my daughter and go to Florida for a couple of weeks this year. You know, when I let God run my life and I just take it as it comes with acceptance, it's fun. It's exciting. It's stress-free. Now, it's not completely stress-free because when the bank account gets low, you know, it's like, okay, I like calling him Dad. Okay, Dad. You know, this is a problem for a guy like me. Because I like to take, you know, I like to take stuff. But it's you know, but I don't want to be that person anymore. And the more that I believe, and the more that I live, you know, what I'm expressing to you here, which is kindness and compassion to, you know, for myself and others. You know, love to me means acceptance. I've been married and divorced since I've been clean. And that was a huge lesson in my life. You know, and basically what it taught me is, number one, I'm not God and I can't fix other people's problems. And number two, what it taught me is that I can't heal other people's lives. I can't reach out and touch them. My name's not Jesus, and I don't walk on water. You know, I can share my experience, strength, and hope, and keep on booking. You know, but it forced me, like I said, to get some professional counseling. Because I was talking with my mom, and of course, when I was first separated from my third wife, I do it in threes, you know, prison in three, wives in three. I don't know what else is going to come in threes, but, you know, I was talking with my mother, and of course, they have the religious point of view of, you know, you got to get back with your wife. And I was like, which one? Just to be a smart ass. But the truth of the matter is, I was like, Mom, you know, if I look at my life, I'm like, there's something wrong with this guy. There's something seriously wrong with this guy. And the biggest thing that's wrong with this guy is he don't know how to live in tune with life and love that lives within inside of him. And what I learned, what I learned about love is it's total, complete acceptance without any strings of any sort. And that's hard. You know, it's really hard, especially to do it for my own self, because I've done a lot of damage. You know, 5 years ago when the economy was crashing, I was trying to do other things to make money because I was broke and I was stressed and I didn't like it, you know, and it lasted for a while. And I ended up having to move out because I hadn't paid the rent for a month and a half, and it wasn't because I was using the money on drugs, I just didn't have it, you know. So life gets tough sometimes. But that's where my grip on my beliefs gets stronger. And every time that I hang on to them and practice the principles that I've been taught in these rooms, my life gets better. Each and every time it gets better. And I like that. I really like that. You know, I like more of that. You know, and I know that I'm still kind of rambunctious and I will make some more decisions that are based on my own will. You know, but I don't worry about it so much anymore. You know, as long as I'm not hurting other people, you know, then I'm not going to reap back anything that I can't walk through, because I've walked through a lot already, you know, and my life is blessed. And I was going to sum up, you know, I had spent a little time thinking about what I would say when I was up here, and I was going to sum up God's will versus my will in this statement right here. If I believe that God is kind, caring, and loving, then that would be his will in any situation, that it be kind, caring, and loving. And if I am a selfish, self-centered person, then if I can be calm enough in my life during the day to determine whether my thoughts, my words, and my actions are kind, caring, or loving, or if they're selfish and self-centered, then I know whether or not I'm living in God's will. I know which choice I am making, you know, and I can dictate how life comes back to me. This is not necessarily program material, but this is what I believe. I can dictate what comes to me in life simply by the decisions that I'm making and what energy I'm putting out there today. You know, if I want love to come back to me, then I got to practice it. If I want anger and thievery, you know, if I'm stealing and trying to fight life all the time, then that's what's going to come back to me. You know, and I'm going to go on out on a limb here. It's taught in many spiritual programs that we reap what we sow, that there's karma, you know, that there's these things. What do I want coming to me? You know, what do I want coming to me? I want kindness, compassion, love, peace. You know, that's what I want. That's what I want in my life. I learned the last time I was locked up, because my second wife left me when I was locked up. And she was a beautiful woman and stuck with me when she shouldn't have. And as soon as I got locked up, she went back to cocaine. And it drove me nuts, because I couldn't get out of the cell. And if I could get out of the cell, I couldn't get across the fence. You know, and I had to learn to let go of what I wanted to happen for that woman. What I've learned since I've been out is I wanted it to happen for her so that it would be good for me. Self-centeredness, it's a tricky bastard. You know, it really is. But anyhow, I've got to close up. Thanks for letting me share. I wanted to thank Dulles Corridor for asking me to come out. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Denise, and I'm still in recovery in the attic. Let's thank Ken for sharing. Yeah, that's what it said. Would anyone like to share? Got about 5 minutes. You can't be on the mic.
Oh, okay. I can stand up here, right? I don't want to be on the mic. My name is Debbie, and I'm an addict. And I love this program because it saved my life. Now, with that said, let's get busy living.
When atmosphere, please.
When I think that I have arrived and I'm well, I'm in trouble. I put God first now in everything I do, because my heart is broken. My father died 2 years ago, and it's been real rough. And I think I can fix people. I fixed two young gentlemen in these rooms. One is taking me to court because he's scared of me, Lord Jesus. And I can't believe it. Big, burly, workout, you know, little old me. You know why he's scared of me? Because he know he done wrong. And I changed my phone number. He kept calling my family. And one day I called him and I said, "What is it? Give me my space to heal, dude." He wouldn't allow me my space. So I commenced to tell him about his raggedy ass. Yeah, I said raggedy ass. Newcomer. Want to play with grown folks and steal a little boy. I got two sons, 38 and 28. One is a goddamn thug, and the other one is gay. I raised, educated him, and is a productive member of society. I'm a grandmother and I'm a great-grandmother. I don't play with little boys. I'm tired of playing with little boys because now I'm in survival mode. Don't start no shaliki, won't be none for me. I was raped brutally 23 years ago, March the 18th. This disease been trying to take my life for a long time, baby. The devil can't have me. I got some work that I need to be done. First of all, I can't work no more because I got carpal tunnel in both hands. This some rough shit here. When you can't put on your earrings and shit. And I'm hurt. Because when you take care of a raggedy ass man and his kids for a year, he asks you to marry him, and once he gets his shit together, I don't want to be in a relationship no more. My father died, and this good, sharing, good-looking, burly man, I don't want to be in a relationship no more. My father was dying. My rock, my equalizer. I'm in therapy now, y'all, because I'm in survival mode. And I'm hurt. So newcomers, there are predators in these rooms. Understand one thing, we in a mental program. And I not to be fucked with no more. Because I got to calm down. I got a lot to do, shit. A lot to do. I'm 55 years old. I work out every day so that I can release some of this hurt and pain. I'm talking about working the four steps over and over and over again. Keep snatching my will back, and God keep letting me know. I'm in charge, shorty. I don't need a man for no damn money today. I got my own. And I'm tired of these little boys around here walking around predators on women that's been trying to recover. Women, we do recover. But we gotta be wise. We gotta stay one step ahead of the enemy. And if you like me, I like men. God damn it, man. My name is Debbie, and thank you for that.
Can we close this meeting with the serenity prayer in a circle?
Call you and let me know what's the meeting.
that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's fine.
Come and get a 347 number from the book.
Well, do we get a copy of them? Where can we get a copy of
downstairs?
And merchandise?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see what I'm saying.